You gonna lead?
I'll lead it out.
Okay.
Is it episode
324?
That's right. 324.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to episode 324 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I am one of your hosts, Perry Burkham, and I'm joined by, as always, Alexander Kulafi.
What's good, my dude?
Everything's good, my main man. It's 52 degrees, clear skies, no Casey.
Zero chance of precipitation.
Nice. Yes. Thanks. This is, hey, and just in honor of Casey, this is an unprecedented a moment in TNP history. And that is that Casey is not here for the second week in a row for a different reason. He's okay. He's not off the show
yet.
And
he's just lazy.
Everyone knows unprecedented is a word that Casey has coined.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know how to say precedent. Everyone knows, like, what the heck's going on? Yeah, we had some listener mail. We had a really cool listener mail that I'm excited to get to, except for I really want it to be enjoyed by the three of us, and it's been too long. And anyway, so here's a plug for listener mail. Send it in. Maybe we'll do a big old juicy segment next week when we have all three of us on and whatnot. But anyway, Alex, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. That you have too many games when Black Friday comes around and there's basically nothing I need. Right. And I'm trying to find ways to buy games that I kind of want. And I'm like, and I can't even muster the Alex-ism to get these games.
That's what happens. You've dug this grave yourself. You know, that's funny because with me, I have been in a game hole. I cannot find, and I'll talk about that, but Black Friday is interesting. I'm looking for that Mario and Rabbids, you know? I'm really looking for a deal on that somewhere. I figured it had to be somewhere. I've not seen anything yet. I saw there's a deal. They're very cheeky on the gold version on the digital. It's like, yeah, I'm not spending $70 on it. Like, you're not going to trick me into buying the gold version. But, isn't that funny? It's like, out of all the games, it's like, hey, would you like to buy the gold version for $90? Or do you want to wait a year and buy the gold version for $15? So,
yeah, it's pretty surprising where I know that Sparks of Hope is a really good game, but with Gotham Knights and Sonic being like on sale for $30 at this point,
yeah,
it's kind of crazy that I don't think I've seen a Sparks of Hope for $50. I've seen some pretty gift amazing, cards yeah. included, but, you know.
Yeah, amazing, right? So anyway, that's going to be interesting. And I guess I probably am going to pick up, funnily enough, Super Mario 3D World digitally on, which is crazy. I'm actually going to put more money into that game because it's on sale for 30% off. And the night before, I was like, I didn't even know it was going to happen. I was like, oh, I just want to play 3D World again, but I can't be bothered to go down and grab the game. It was just like, because I want to play it all the time. It's like I got all these games on it. But I'll talk more about that later.
Sure.
I'm a sick man. I'm a weak man.
You're a sick man. I have a very quick food thing. Just a food observation.
I have some food stuff too. Yeah. Oh, I have some food stuff.
Okay. So my thing, which is very quick, is I was at Whole Foods the other day. And just picking some stuff up. We got a Whole Foods nearby. And I saw there that they had their hot bar. And I saw they had their chicken tenders. And I was just like, you know what? I'm in the mood for chicken tenders right now. I don't have them anymore for some reason. And I want some chicken tenders. Let me tell you. A good chicken tender. Plain, no sauce. A high quality, meaty, crispy chicken tender.
Mm-hmm. Like an actual tender, right? The actual part of the chicken, the tender, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is one of the purest food joys that that there is in the American comfort food realm, I feel.
Correct. Yeah, and, I agree.
It's yeah, I mean, I'm not like a picky eater. I'll eat like pretty much anything, but and like I won't usually jump to the cheese pizza. I won't usually jump to even a pure pepperoni pizza. Not that I have anything against pepperoni. I'll usually go more complicated than that. But with chicken tenders, I feel like you really can't beat just a really dang good peppery juicy chicken tender.
Oh yeah,
yes peppery. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes sir.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you get into like the Raising Cane's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a wonderful chicken finger, I guess they call it. And you know, Famous Dave's is a barbecue joint, and you might have been at some place, probably not, but I think it's kind of like a Midwestern thing. And they had their barbecue, and they have these amazing chicken tenders, where they're actual tenders, and they had this like incredible like jalapeno honey sauce. Oh my goodness, dang you! I'm so hungry. But anyway, my food thing is I actually tried the new French onion, is that what it's called, burger at Freddy's. I've been meaning to try it, and it's basically like a patty melt version of the Freddy's cheeseburger. And I got to tell you, you know, I didn't think it could possibly be as good. It might be as good as the, it's amazing. It has like a like grilled onions on it. It has those French onion, those crunchy French onion things for like salads. What do you call, you know? Like the
fried onions.
Yeah, sure. It has those. It has like white American cheese and bacon. And it's just it was incredible. Like I was amazed. And so I ate that for Thursday and Friday. But I was like, I'm coming back on Friday. It was so good with some cheese curds and some fries. We're done here.
Love a good fast food burg.
Oh yeah. 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 And it's still, yeah. I mean, so I highly recommend it. Check it out. There you go.
Very cool.
So, we should... games to talk about. Before yes, we sir. Get into the big stuff, let me.
We should definitely lead with the most important thing. Are you crazy?
And why would we lead with the? Then no one's gonna care about the other
you don't
stuff.
Bury the lead. You want to start on your stuff?
Yeah.
I disagree disrespectfully, but we can do your thing
disrespectfully. Okay. Well, we're gonna do it. Quick bites. No, you gotta bait him, you know.
I disrespectfully disagree, but I will defend to the death your right to do it.
Thank you. That's all I really need. I put a bow on Yoshi's Crafted World. Pretty hefty game there. You know, I got into the zone to where I was 100%ing the levels. You know, it was just so much fun. And I got into this like, oh man, like we're going to put the kids down for the night. And I'm just going to play a level or two of Yoshi's Crafted World. It was great. Wonderful. I really have nothing bad about the game to say. It is like pure Nintendo ingeniousness. There's like an incredible assortment of levels at the end that like have like little nightmares themes. Like genuinely scary levels in the game. It's amazing. Just wonderful game. Beautiful. Highly recommended. You just got to go in. It's a different kind of... I'm calling this the observational platformer. Where it's all, you know, observational / collectathon in a way. But really where it's all about, you know, looking at the environment in a slow way instead of making your way. And the platforming isn't a huge part of it, but... What a wonderful game. So
yep.
That was great. And after that, I was like, okay, I need to try going back to Kirby Star Allies. Because I that's a game I just couldn't play. I couldn't get into very much. I tried and it was beautiful, but I just couldn't get into it in a Kirby way. And I thought, you know what? Kirby in the Forgotten Land was incredible. Let's go back and see if maybe I can be switched on this as well. And I went back. And I played some, and it's awesome, awesome looking, but I cannot get into the game at all. It's just not the same quality.
Which one? Which Kirby?
Kirby Star Allies.
Oh, the one that was very early on the Switch. Yep.
It's, you know, it doesn't help that it runs at like 25 frames a second. It's something where it's a weird frame rate. Mm. And then the level design just, and I've thought of this has been my thing for Kirby all games until, well, Epic Yarn was awesome, but the Kirby level design is just weird and like not very good and not very Nintendo-ish. It feels like a different kind of Japanese style game, kind of like those like weird, like what's the Umahara Kawasi? That's what
the one where with the grappling hook.
Grappling, yes. It that fishing game. It feels like more like that style of a game rather than a Nintendo style game, especially coming off of good feel off of Yoshi's Crafted World. It just hits so hard differently, and I don't like the dynamic of the gameplay. I couldn't get into it. So anyway, that's where I'm at now. I got 3 codes for games today, though. So next week, I will be over the Thanksgiving break. We shall see if I get some time into a bunch of games. I got Rogue Legacy. I got a code for that as well.
Oh, so, very cool. I'm excited to hear what you think because I talked big on it last week.
You did. That's why I actually reached out. I was like, you know what? Balix couldn't stop yapping about it. So I literally told them that too. I was like, well, we had this guy couldn't stop yapping. So I'll try it if you have any codes left. So. They sent one over. So anyway, we'll.
Are you able to say what the other two are, or are they embargoed?
Yeah. I got another one. I got is a Soccer Story. Yep. I don't know if you played that.
No, but I have the Steam. You gave me the Steam code on that.
And then, another one it's a weird pet game. Cuckoos. It looks really good. Cuckoos Lost Pet. Cuckoos. Hmm. Anyway, okay. It looks good. And anyway, talk about them next week. I think. I got to check, make sure the embargoes aren't up. But yeah.
I got some code stuff. I'm talking about one of them today, but I'm also working on Wobble Dogs, which just came out this week or last week. I think it was announced at the Indie Direct. And then. I got Signalis, and I gave you a code of Signalis too from Humble that I haven't gotten around to playing yet, but I want to put some time into it and talk about it in the next couple weeks. I played some, but not enough to do a segment on here yet. But it's a lot of people are really loving it, so I want to put some time into it. But I'm going to talk about, since we're bearing the lead, I might as well do it fully and talk about one code game that I did.
Whoa.
A good deal
You disrespectfully disagree with me, and then you do the same thing.
That's
called being a big old hypocrite.
And?
That's all I have to say.
And? What are you going to do about it?
Nothing. I'm just going to pull it out.
That's going to peak so hard on the audio.
That's okay.
We're gonna talk about a new game from Devolver, that being MacPixel 3.
First of all, it's not MacPixel. It's MacPixel. Okay.
That's how they say it in the game.
I don't care.
Okay.
It's not. If it's MacPixel, then there's an A in there. Okay. You go to MacDonald's.
I will call it MacPixel going forward, but I will say that it's pronounced MacPixel in the game. Kind of style. It's a very goofy game, though. It could be doing like a Scottish thing or.
Wait, this is a Devolver game and it's goofy?
It's published by Devolver. Yes, sir.
Okay.
MacPixel 3 is the second game in the MacPixel series. It follows MacPixel, which was a free WarioWare-esque game about saving the day that came out for free on Steam 10 years ago. And it's I mean, it's 99 cents. Maybe it did cost a lot of money back then. It's 99 cents on Steam right now, the original McPixel. But this is McPixel 3, which is the sequel to McPixel. And it is a game where you are put in all of these scenarios, much like that polite, that Japanese polite game we were talking about that is always on sale. The you've played this, Perry.
Yeah, I don't know what it's, I can't remember.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Name. Yes.
Where yeah. you're, it's always on sale, and they're actually good, so I wish I remember the title at the moment. But,
Okay.
They're a fun 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a fun knee 30 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would say this is a funny 2 hours, okay. All right. 2 or 3 hours. But it is a similar deal where you get put in a situation and then you have to stop it. You have like a few options and the game sort of just moves forward. You're given an overworld and you're given like, and you have to go to like different chunks of different level packs are basically each level, which have like 6 WarioWare-esque scenarios each. So one of them might be a plane's going down and you have to figure out what to do and you have to save the day. And there you can take a backpack, but when you hit interact on backpack, he throws the backpack out the window. Then you hit the shovel. Then you select the shovel. He throws the shovel out the window. And then you select the door of the airplane. He jumps out the window. It's the kind of thing where it's, and then you're falling out of the plane, and then if you select the shovel hits, you can, here's what this game is, mm-hmm. is you are putting random situations that are very goofy and are like a MacGruber style, MacGyver style, how is he gonna get out of this one, and they're very stupid, and they're very funny, and you have a few seconds to figure out what you're going to do. And there's only like 3 or 4 things you can interact with. And the game is just as much about figuring the right thing to do as it is to see all the goofs and gags that they figured out for each of their sort of scenarios.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and there's like 5 or 6 levels per WarioWare level. And if you get it wrong, it's sort of, you just go right to the next scenario. And then you loop back around to the beginning of the level pack, if that makes sense, to finish up all the levels you didn't clear. So it's like a WarioWare game, but if you got some of the levels wrong at the end of the level after the boss, you loop back around and finish the ones you got wrong. And that's sort of the... I look at the trailer, because it's very like... It's hard to explain because it's like WarioWare, but the WarioWares are longer.
That's funny,
and they're more
like
30 seconds.
It's funny, as I was like, I've seen the trailer and I was like, this game doesn't, I don't understand what this game is. Hopefully Alex can explain it. And you're like, just look at the trailer.
Okay, so it is a point and click adventure game that is flavored a lot like WarioWare. So okay. It's point and click, 2D, you're interacting with the game in 2D. The whole game is told through interacting with things and doing things to things. So you can pick things up. Or you can kick someone if you interact with a person, and it's a point-and-click adventure game. But it's goofy WarioWare-style scenarios that have 3 or 4 outcomes per scenario. They're very goofy, all about saving the world. Some of them are more abstract. Some of them are surreal. Some of them are highly referential. They're all pretty funny. There's about 100 of these scenarios across the entire game, and... I've beaten 6 of the 9 level packs. So I've seen most of the game in an hour or so, mm-hmm. and it's $10. I'm frustrated with myself trying to explain this, and this is why like sometimes I feel like I should take notes for the games I talk about on this show because
no,
I'm like
I could help you out by asking questions and stuff. Like
but do you
like do you like the game?
Pretty good. It's very So it's not like WarioWare in that it's got that sharp, satisfying feeling of just being given a ton of things to do, where you're just given rapid fire goofs and yucks. So it's a little more slow paced than that. I like it. I think it's not as funny as WarioWare, but I think it has a really quirky sense of humor that's worth as funny experiencing.
No.
Not really.
I don't think there really is, to be honest.
If we're talking about video games, are there funnier games than WarioWare? I would have to think about it for a really long time. And at best, there'd be like one or two very random things. Maybe.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm not even sure.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. Yeah. It's a very existential question to even think about.
Yeah. I recommend looking at a trailer for this. It's goofy. It's dumb. It's pretty funny. But it's also kind of slow paced because you're kind of expecting WarioWare, but you're spending 30 seconds inside each of these scenarios sometimes. And because you can't get out of a level really, or you can't be done with a level until you beat all the scenarios, there'll be times where I'll have 4 of the 6 or 7 scenarios not finished, and it'll loop me around several times, and I'm just trying things out, and I'm kind of not really laughing anymore, and I'm kind of just trying to get through the level.
Right.
It's also very lo-fi in the sense where there's basically no sound effects. And outside of the guy saying MacPixel, it's just like a couple really catchy music tracks playing over it. So there's not a ton going on other than the jokes. It is basically all the jokes.
These are the jokes, kid.
it really is. It really is. So a bit of a confusing descriptor, but I don't know. Recommend looking at the trailer. It's only $10, so it'll probably go on sale soon enough because Devolver games always go on sale within a few months. Cute little game. I can dig it. Yep. MacPixel 3. Okay, let's talk about a game that is a lot easier to explain, kind of, and that is...
I am excited about this.
Yeah, I've beaten it already, this game we're about to talk about.
You disgusting... Okay, anyway, yeah?
Pokemon Violet.
Scarlet was like perfect.
Yeah, that would be. And I actually think it's the funniest the way it is now, where Arceus was kind of a wabi-sabi game,
right?
But
Arceus was actually the better was game.
But Arceus was like a really brilliant thing that had a lot of promise into the future.
He was awesome.
Pokemon Violet. Okay, so if Arceus, my tagline that I always give for it is like, it's the best Pokemon game since whatever one you played as a kid.
Yeah.
The tagline for Pokemon Violet is, I had a really good time, but I probably have more negative things than positive things on a quantity basis to say about it.
Sure. Yeah, I want to say like I want to play a game like that. I want to play an arc. I want to play a big, juicy Pokemon RPG right now. Like, I am in the mood. Like, get, like, saddle me up. I want that. But I just can't. I don't want, like, to step backwards from where Arceus took me. And it seems like this is a step backwards.
In some ways, yes. In other ways, it is a step forward. That is the paradox that is this new game. And I'll tell... So you know how Wabi Sabi is sort of beauty through imperfections?
Yeah.
Where you can see the imperfections, but despite the imperfections, or in some cases because of them, you have a greater appreciation for the beauty that is on display. And some of the best games of all time can be described this way. I think Metal Gear Solid 5, I feel this way about. I think Breath of the Wild is a wabi-sabi, despite people calling it a masterpiece. I think it's a masterpiece through, like, some very wabi-sabi design.
Sure,
In some ways.
I mean,
yes, would call
absolutely, 100%.
Which isn't, like, against Breath of the Wild. It's just there are parts of it that feel like it's taped together with duct tape, right?
Yes.
But it's still a miraculous game in its own right. Arceus, probably, if it came down to it, top 50 game I've ever played. But it is, in some ways, held together by duct tape. And it is, it's a strange little experience. We talked about this with TYP.
Yeah.
This is the most extreme.
Wait, no, we didn't.
Not, well, we talked. You going to cut that out?
No, I'm not going to cut that
okay.
out.
Okay. Pokemon Violet is the most barely qualifying is Wabi Sabi game. And I'll tell you what I mean. So I'll start with the good. Everyone heard about the performance issues. We'll get to those. But I'll say the good thing. The Game Freak's open world design is really, really great. The way that they're making Pokemon battles faster, and they're making it so you can interact with wild Pokemon without always having to go into battle with them, and that there's a sense of exploration that's more based on the landmass rather than waiting to see what random encounter will flash up on your screen. There is new traversal being added for Pokemon. There is a 360-degree camera added to it, so you have full exploration, all the things that we said about Arceus. But the benefit here is that because it's one connected open world, and because there are towns and various landmarks to act as anchor points, there is a greater sense of life to this open world in a lot of ways than there were in the open zones that Arceus had. Arceus,
sure,
love it. But in some ways, it at times felt like it was just a flat open world with Pokemon spawning in random places.
Like I said, and my take on Arceus is it was the absolute bare minimum at what it was trying to do. The bare minimum, acceptable bare minimum at what that game was. And it was awesome. But it did not do anything more than it needed to do.
But it also felt like the ground floor for you saw what was possible as well. Mm-hmm. And I still think that's possible. And I think some of it's realized here. So instead of open zones, it's a full start to finish open world that as soon as you get out of the tutorial, which is, of course, a little bit slow, takes about an hour and a half to get all the way through it, takes place in a school. Like an academy is sort of the central place. But after you see the academy and do the little introductory story, they tell you that as part of this sort of study, this treasure hunt study, treasure hunt is sort of like you find your treasure as a trainer, not a literal treasure, that you can just do whatever you want. So after you get out of the tutorial, you're given three quest lines. One is Team Star, which is the Team Rocket equivalent. There are some bullies at the school. There is the 8 gym badges. which is sort of your traditional Pokemon game. 8 badges, go through the Elite Four. And there is the Herba Mystica quest line, which is just there's this student who's trying to get these 5 herbs. They're blocked by these 5 Titan Pokemon who are a lot like the boss fights from Arceus. So you're given these 3 quest lines that are dotted across the map, and there's one for each of the 18 types. So there's 18 things dotted from top to bottom, and you can decide whatever order you want to do it in, which is so awesome because you get to make your own decisions. You can go, this Team Star thing is whatever for now, so I want to do the Titan Pokemon because that's really cool. Or maybe I want to catch Pokemon and see what sort of new guys they have in this game. Or you can decide to just sort of go through the gyms. And I didn't game over once, but it felt like Arceus, where it was keeping up with my levels a little better at times than, let's say, Sword and Shield and a lot of previous other games did. And although I kind of wish there was some level scaling, because there were times where I was exploring the eastern side of the map, so I was doing some badges and little things along the way, and my team was at level 30, and then I go to the western side of the map, and the intended first gym I hadn't fought yet, so I had to sit through like a story cutscene, which of course there's no voice acting, which really slows everything down, before I had to fight like level 15 Pokemon, which was like a little annoying and tedious at times. So I kind of wish that it scaled a little better with your levels, but that's sort of neither here nor there. So they really put in a lot of effort to make sure that you can do whatever you want at all times, and you can fully explore the map. You can catch every Pokemon that's like a wild Pokemon in the game, obviously not counting like legendaries that are tied to the story or whatever. So you can catch a level 50 immediately, although it takes a certain amount of luck because I think the catch rate improves as you get more badges. But I caught like a level 50 in a almost post-game part of the map, just when I was level 30, because I just explored to that part of the map. So there's this loop that is created of you're grinding things up, you're completing the story tasks, and you're training, and you're exploring, and you're doing all this stuff that is a lot like the Arceus loop. In the same way that Arceus stole all of my hours, and I was just obsessed with just grinding things out at all times, which I'm sure you felt to some extent with Arceus, that's totally here. It's 100% here, and it feels almost as good as it did 10 months ago. And that's awesome. I love having more of this open world stuff to do. So, all good stuff. The new Pokemon designs are great. There are some great evolutions to old monsters, which I won't spoil. There are some good story beats that are sort of in the later part of the game. And there is definitely like this sort of idea of freedom that is really sort of pushed through. And from that alone, if you can tolerate all the other stuff I'm about to tell you, it was very much a worthwhile 24 hours it took me to see the whole game and the post-game stuff I wanted to do. The other shoe is that it runs horrendously on Switch, especially docked. The first time you see a cutscene,
doesn't make any sense.
It's weird how like docked performs worse than handheld in so many games now. Like they design it on handheld and then they just do a basic up res and ship it. Maybe does that seem like that could be? You're the game developer. I'm just curious. I imagine is happening.
There's a million ways to make a game. I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
All I know is this. The biggest franchise of all time should run well.
The first in-engine cutscene and the first second of it, there were flickering textures. Like the first introduction you have to the world in-engine, there were flickering textures in the map as it was loading in immediately.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel good. And that's, see, the thing, that's what I've, that's what I hate about Pokemon games, is the feeling of like amateur hour. It's just weird. It's like, what the heck is going on here? Like every game up until X, and even X probably felt pretty good, honestly, like pretty good high.
Yeah, even Sun and Moon was Sun and Moon's was like that. It sort of held your hand, but all the other ones, all the ones after that had some issues, I think. Maybe not Let's Go.
But like all of the 2D games, you know, up until DS for sure, like it felt like high quality, awesome, like best UI design. Like, you know, like on those DS games, how awesome like the everything felt. And it didn't. But like all of like the sounds, like I heard so many of these snippets and the sound design is so lazy and like weird sounding. It's just like all the other Switch games. All the sound like really loud sound effect where you hear the same king king same sound on everything you press, and it's just weird, dude. I don't understand it.
I don't know if this needed more time in the oven, or they need to beef up their tech team, or however this stuff works. But it's not just flickering textures. It is popping that is worse than Arceus. There are Pokemon clipping through the terrain at times. There's bad frame rate like that is all over the place from like 20 to 30 at times. Like it aims for 30, but it doesn't hit it at nearly as often as it should. Glitches. Like it's not unplayable, and it's not as unplayable as a lot of the videos make it seem like it is. And like I only play games in 60 FPS when I have the choice, but even I got used to it after a while, so I still had overall a good experience. But the technical state of this video game is unacceptable, abysmal, atrocious. Which is a shame, because I really enjoy it for a lot of these reasons. As for the game itself, the stuff I don't like, everything's just slower than Arceus. Part of it,
I know, that's, I was so worried about, that's what we talked about, right? When Arceus came out, was like, oh, it's going to be really hard to go back.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So the way Arceus worked, as you remember, is that battles sort of took place in the world. It would switch to a bit of a battle overlay, but you could walk around freely. If you wanted to run from a wild battle, you can just walk away. EXP was handled as you were walking away, so you were always moving in Arceus at all times. And even the battle system had been changed so that there was the strong style and agile style. So there were more things to do.
It was so good, too. And it was so simple, but it worked so well.
It was simple. It was a simple change, but it made it so you felt more involved during the battle, and there was less downtime and less waiting at all times. It was just smart and sharp.
Yes.
And here, because it's like sort of the real Pokemon game, no agile strong style, which is fine. I understand. But battles take longer. Battles need their own menu. You got to wait for the dialogue boxes. You got to wait for the EXP. You got to do this. And it's like it's slow in the way Pokemon games are slow at times before Arceus. Yeah. And it's not that it's the worst thing in the world. It's still Pokemon. But it's worse following all of these enormous quality of life changes from Arceus. And other than the open world style and the sense of exploration, this game picking up basically none of them. Mm. I also don't like that there's no voice acting, and it becomes weirder and weirder every generation. Because they're going for this 3D human proportion JRPG open world. They have this gorgeous music that's among the best music in the series. Probably upper tier Pokemon music. A lot of really good, memorable stuff. And you're just doing the bing, bing, bing to go through the text boxes. And yeah, you just have to read everything. Yeah. And you would think that doesn't like mess with the pacing that much, but it does. And on top of that, the way the game is written, everything's over-explained. The story has for most of it, even less going on than Arceus did. So if you thought Arceus' story was like fine, dragged a little at times, but it was okay, good enough, had a pretty good time, this just drags. Like, yeah. I was the Team Star plotline, especially, is just everything's explained multiple times, everything's reestablished, and I was just skipping through dialogue boxes because like, I just like, didn't just care. Like,
shut up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like a story guy a lot of the time. I want to see the writing that games come up with.
You're a published author.
I guess self-published, but sure. I feel weird being like, I just want to be in the open world finding these cool new Pokemon, exploring, seeing the different types of terrain they came up with, seeing how it interacts with the towns, all this stuff. And it's just dragging dialogue. And it's like, it bottlenecks the sense of freedom. By not at least, it's not that I want there to be no story. I'd want there to be actually a lot of story if it's a really good story, but it should be concise and have production value and be voice acted. Especially this deep into the series, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I've been talking for a while. Did you have anything before I kept going?
No, it's just exactly what I thought the game would be, you know, like that's just exactly.
and the world feels good at that, to the point that there are moments that you feel like you're in a Xenoblade game running around.
Cool.
But I mean,
Xenoblade, perfect example, right? Like, what a production, right? You know, like Xenoblade's production is ridiculous. Like, all the voice acting, the cinematography, it's incredible. And think about the difference in like the budget that Xenoblade has compared to Pokemon. It makes no sense, you know?
You want Xenoblade to have a big budget because it's a great game, but it's also like, this is the biggest media budget franchise in the whole world.
Absolutely.
Even though Grand Theft Auto 5 is the biggest game in the world, pound for pound, the Pokemon series is probably worth way more than the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah,
and why does it look and feel like this
when Xenoblade 3...
When Xenoblade 3, which didn't even run 10 out of 10, let's say it was a 7 or 8 out of 10 the way it ran on Switch at times, it was dealing with these huge land masses and these complicated biomes, just like Pokemon, even if Pokemon's a little bigger, and the difference in quality is just out of control between these two games.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like that the legendary Pokemon is someone you get very early in the story. You can't use them in battle. Basically, you find your Pokemon. I played Violet, so that it's Miraidon. And you're sort of nursing them back to health, but they sort of become your traversal tool until then. And that's a really cool thing, except do you remember how good most of the riding Pokemon felt in Arceus?
I remember the traversing in Arceus was just awful. Like the like,
okay.
Well, I seriously, like, I like the flying felt really awesome, but like the surfing was okay. But like, I remember the weird physics of jumping. Remember like trying to get up mountains and stuff, and like you just couldn't do it. Like the collision on the mountains was awful. But like, it felt good on like flat lands and stuff. Just the climbing was terrible.
So maybe I got rose colored glasses. I just remember being on that Braviary and having a really good time. But at the very least, Violet's traversal doesn't feel as good as Arceus's does. Whatever your feelings on Arceus are, Violet's like 80% as good on that front.
That stinks.
And yet, all that said, because it's got that open world and because it's so addicting to find new Pokemon and to see the designs they came up with and to train them and to see the new gimmicks and to see like how they're what their take on like surfing on the water is and how things have changed. It's so much fun. And I had such a great 20 hours with it, to the point that I went to the midnight launch on Thursday night, Friday morning to GameStop. You just buy it. It's not like there was a party or anything, but I bought it.
Wow.
And I played it an hour that night and I beat it Sunday. So I had a really great time in a lot of ways, but all this other stuff, that's sort of the wabi-sabi at its most extreme.
I'm at is like, I might get this game on a sale, you know, if, but again, the Pokemon games, when do they ever go on sale? You know,
even still, like, I feel like even if your judgment or your impulse gets the better of you and you end up picking this up and you really like Arceus, I think you'll have a good time with it.
Yeah.
I think you'll actually be pleasantly surprised because of how negative a lot of the things you're hearing are, that you're like, this is actually pretty good. And that's how I feel about it. But
okay.
I on Backlogged, which is what I use to track games, I gave it 3.5 out of 5 stars, which is about a 7. I feel like if I reviewed this for Nintendo World Report, I'd probably give it like a 7.5 or an 8, which is great Pokemon game, but with a ton of stuff dragging it down. A ton of stuff. Very strange thing overall.
Very strange.
Yep.
So weird. So,
yeah. Any other things you wanted to know about Pokemon?
No, pretty much confirmed all my deepest and darkest fears.
It's not terrible. It's just unacceptable.
I was hoping it was what I thought it would be. And, you know, what I hoped it wouldn't be like when it was announced, right? It was like, okay, like I'm excited for this. Like, I'm excited for what this could be. Like, I was actually like, Arceus was like, okay, you got me excited for what Pokemon could be. And then now it's like, unfortunately, this isn't what I was hoping. But I think you're right. I think I probably would get something out of it. I just like it. It's
you're
like,
not there
okay,
yet.
Okay. Here's a good comparison. Here's one. I haven't played Sword or Shield, right? I have played Brilliant Diamond or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So what's your comparison between those two? Like, because I had to put Brilliant Diamond down once I got to the part where you have to do the, like, dress your pets up. And it was just like everything seemed like the production was so crappy. I just stopped playing it.
Well, actually, this will be easy for you. So I think Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl are the worst Pokemon games. I think they're very low effort remakes that add almost nothing and take some things away to some extent. I would also say that this would be middle, ranked in the middle, as is in Pokemon Generations. Okay. So not the worst, not the best. If they patch it and make it run a lot better, which they could because of how bad it currently runs, they must have just put it out really hot. It would probably be an upper tier Pokemon game. Okay. Not the best, but a good one.
All right.
I think you'll get it. I think it's just when.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I was kind of like, I'm not going to get this before Mario. And Rabbids.
Sure.
But anyway.
That's a really good game. You'll have a good time with that. I hope you get it at some point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's.
No, I'm just waiting on that sale because I just can't, you know? I just can't. Ubisoft, man. I'm sorry. You've devalued all your games. I just can't. I won't.
A little treat, which I don't know if it'll actually stay that way, but I got the Best Buy edition of Mario plus Rabbids. And it came with this galaxy costume DLC something. And I looked at the DLC and it said that I had the whole season pass on the eShop. So I'm curious if I accidentally got a code for the season pass or if it was just because that one piece of season pass DLC was already out.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. We shall find out.
Do we have anything else? Yuji Naka got arrested.
Dude, we have to talk about that.
I don't even think that's a news segment, though, because I'm not going to look it up. I just think it's wild that the narrative of Yuji Naka from Sonic the Hedgehog to
Balan
Wonderworld.
No. We don't talk. He is the Balan guy.
The creator of Balan Wonderworld.
Yes.
And then gets arrested for insider trading.
I need to say, I'm just going to say this, like, if there's anything to be arrested for that I can understand, like insider trading is like one of the things that's like the most understandable thing to be, and I say that because it's like,
I've done it.
Because I do it. What is it that Kevin says in The Office? He's like, I had him explain what he did to get in jail 3 times because it sounds like what I do here every day. But you know what I mean? It's like insider trading can be like, hey, your stocks are going to fall. You might want to sell. And then you do that and you're like, oh, insider trading. I mean, I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, you kind of got to prosecute that.
Like, I'm not saying
the money would go crazy.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not like he did something morally unbelievable. But maybe I was hoping he just got arrested for producing Balan Wonderland, Wonderworld.
Plagiarism. Someone else had made that.
No, just punishment for just the production. It was so bad he got arrested.
Yeah.
But man, it's like I said, I'm telling you, we should have kickstarted that Yuji Naka documentary, dude. But it's gonna happen. Like, I'm sure it's gonna happen somewhere. It's gonna happen now.
Instead, we have to crowdfund Yuji Naka's bail.
Exactly.
Do a GoFundMe with the what is it? The ASPCA or whatever music, where it's like in the arms of an angel.
The photo for it is Balan Wonderworld's top hat upside down, full of like cash.
Like, with your gift, you can free Yuji Naka.
Arms of the angels. Yep.
with your monthly gift, we'll give you a throw pillow that's shaped
this?
Like Balan, shaped like the farmer.
Yeah, I was thinking we could do a Kickstarter for Balan Wonderworld 2. And like one of the top tier goals is 50% of it goes to his bail money.
50-50 Balan, half of it Balan goes.
Money. We got to do something.
Balan, Balan.
Balan. I think, didn't we? We got to do something like we got to do that pun somewhere. Like,
I think
Balan,
we did it.
Bail,
I think we
paid
did Balan Wonderworld.
We did Balan Wonderworld, but it's like paying Balan or escaped bail or escaped Balan. I don't know. There's something there for sure.
Bailing Balan is my favorite.
Bailing Balan. There you go. That's perfect. That's so good. Yeah, it's very good.
Thanks.
Anyway, that'll do it for our show this week. Again, sorry, it was kind of weird, and it's our Thanksgiving show. But next week we'll be back. Hey, next week, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next week is the start of the Christmas season. So we're going to have the jingle jangle next week. So that's exciting. So, and then, yeah, we got to get ready for our, I got to ship out my presents. Well, I can't ship it too soon because in case he's going to look at them. But
I have all your gifts bought. I just need to ship them out and stop being lazy.
Well, you got lots of time, so just whatever.
We're gonna do it in like February anyway.
Not use UPS because Josh works there. Just kidding.
He'll
UPS
see the spoilers.
Is great. They guarantee delivery. I sent a box to England. Mm-hmm. And it did not arrive. You know, it arrived. Someone had stolen it, all the contents, and cut out the address, and that's all that got to the person there in England. And that was via USPS. Now, obviously, when they get to England, it's UPS. It's USPS's problem. But the nice thing about UPS is they guarantee delivery. So there you go. Just shilling UPS. So anyway, you can find us on Twitter at Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo.
Beauty.
You can find Nintendo World Report on Patreon at patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/NWR. Yep, and that stands for NintendoWorldReport.com, which is where we are hosted. And you can find Alex's Patreon at patreon.com/...
B-A-I-L-I-N-B-A-L-I-N.
Yes. Yes, it's a Patreon that you submit. It's just a monthly donation to the bail money of Yuji Naka.
And can I just say, Perry, if you have a stinger this week, you are fired.
Okay. Yes. Yes, sir. I'll have your anti-stinger on your desk.
Did you listen to what I did last week?
I told you I did. I said good stinger, remember?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you did. I just don't pay attention to what my friends say.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, thank you. It wasn't a stinger. It was a protest of stingers.
Yeah, it was good.
Know. Thank you.
I'm really glad that you both didn't do a stinger and you did. So it was good.
Whenever I want to spite you, I end up putting in way more work than I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like we're trying to run up the clock, so it's almost an hour. Like we're close enough. I feel like we're close enough to call it a podcast.
Well, the beautiful part is, though, is like if that's the case, I can just make the music for the song. I can just put in like three Pokemon songs, start to end, before we start talking about it.
Sure. Can I, without being a news segment, I'll just read some stuff off.
News Talk with Casey Gibson.
Sure.
The golf and new Nintendo Switch Sports comes out November 28th.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. I'm actually excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Third wave of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, December 7th.
Oh, yeah. Quick comment. How weird is it, by the way, that there is an exclusive game in the Mario Kart series on the iPhone? Isn't that weird? That's weird.
And that a lot of tracks were exclusive to it until this DLC.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that crazy? Like, I it's weird to think about. Anyway, that's just bizarre.
Probably Mario Kart 9 if you think about it. Splatoon 3 Chill Season, December 1st. I think the Splatoon Worlds or Splatoon National Championship, whatever it is in Boston this year or next year.
Oh, yeah. Right. So we're gonna have firsthand reporting.
I would be so bored. I swear,
dude,
I would be
also,
so bored.
Weird comment about Splatoon 3. Has there been any maps or anything updated in that game since it came out?
Maybe.
I don't think there has, dude. It's so weird. Like there was like a new map every week for the previous first Splatoon games. Just weird, man.
So the Chill Season on December 1st will feature new stages and weapons in addition to modes.
Yeah.
New set of dualies and other stuff. So Big Run, which is a version of Salmon Run that takes place on standard stages, that's coming out soon. So there was actually
But I mean it's on the now, but it's yeah, weird. What else we got?
There's the new, like we said, Black Friday sale on the eShop. Some good stuff on there.
Oh, by the way, plug here. Sure. Destination, Nindy Spotlight. Check out Nindy Spotlight. I've been doing this because he has a wonderful website, nindyspotlight.com. And he has this section called deals and or steals and deals. It's just right on the top, and it's amazing. It has all the deals, like worth like games that he's reviewed, and there's like profiles, and you can read his reviews and stuff, and it shows what how much they cost and how much percentage they're off, and it's amazing. It's like the best thing I've found online for finding deals. So if you ever like. Just check it out. Check out his website, nindyspotlight.com. Seriously.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Go to his site. Good job, and Justin. Then, good job, Justin. Two other sites you should go to are dekudeals.com, D-E-K-U-deals.com. Mm-hmm. There are a really good deals tracker that's focused on the eShop. So if you want to sift through the deals each week and see like what price everything is, physical and digital, that stuff's available and really well sorted there. And then if you're looking for PC game deals, go to CheapShark.com. Which sort of aggregates all the stores.
And Casey would tell you to go to G2A.com.
Kinguin. Pirate Bay. Pirate
Bay. That's funny. I'm just
okay,
kidding.
Okay, maybe cut this part out.
I'm not cutting that out. I'm just kidding. I know nothing about that site, so anyway.
Okay. All right. Wait, I'll exit clean. All right, that's our show. Bye.
I disrespectfully disagree, but I will defend to the death your right to do it.